Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, your word is precious. And whenever we read it, we gain new insight into your word. And we pray that this morning you'll open our eyes to see Jesus and to see what he has done, the sacrifice that he has made in order that we might be his servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesse lived in Covent Garden in the West End of London. She used to come to our service at the Covent Garden Christian Centre most Sundays. She was 99 years of age. Her one desire was to be with her relatives in Australia for her 100th birthday and have it on the beach. She regularly visited a lady called Mrs. Dixie. And Mrs. Dixie was a lovely, beautiful Christian. And on one occasion, when she came to visit Mrs. Dixie, she said to her, "Do you think I've got enough money to get to Australia?" And she tipped her handbag out on the kitchen table. In her handbag was £1,000. And here was a 99-year-old walking through Covent Garden, Drury Lane, and all those back streets with £1,000 in a handbag. She had no passport because she had no birth certificate. But the airport officials waived the passport and they let her go to Australia. And a colleague and I took Jessie to the airport. And when she got to the airport, a stewardess came and said, "Jessie, you can have whatever you like for a meal on the plane going to Australia." Any idea what she chose? You're dead right. Absolutely. She chose fish and chips as a meal. She said to Jessie, "You can have that." And when she landed in Australia, there was a band to welcome her at the airport because she was the oldest person to come to Australia. She got her wish. She had her 100th birthday on the beach in Australia, and Jessie lived to be 102. Wonderful. In the last paragraph of Mark chapter 12 that Bill brought to us, Jesus has come to sit opposite the place where people were coming into the temple to put their money in the temple treasury. The upkeep of the temple was very important. As Jesus watched people giving, he noticed the rich who had plenty put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came to the temple. He watched as she put in 2 copper coins, only a fraction of a penny. Jesus wanted to share a very important lesson with the disciples. So he called them to him. And he said to them, "Did you see this poor widow? She put in more than all the others. And you can imagine that possibly, though it's not written in the scriptures, that the disciples turned and said to Jesus, what do you mean by that? All these people who were coming into the temple have been putting lots of money in. And Jesus replied, all the rich people who came and put money in the treasury box gave what they didn't need. This poor widow gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a cent to live on. Notice that our Lord did not deny that the rich gave much. He pointed out that the widow gave more. The rich people gave a contribution, generous as that may have been, but the widow gave a true sacrifice. How much do you trust the Lord with your wealth? Jesus, in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, had this to say: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's important to remember that the Lord measures giving not by what we give, but what we keep for ourselves. The widow kept nothing. She gave everything. And the teaching on giving goes back to the Old Testament. Each year, a tithe, a tenth of one's produce, was given to God for the upkeep of the priests. A second tax was used for a sacrificial meal in which the worshipper and his family shared at one of the festivals. A third tax was used to help the poor. In a book that's not often easily understood and read by Christians, the book of Leviticus. In chapter 27, verses 30 and 33, we read these words: a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth to the value of it. Every tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. No one may pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If anyone does make a substitution, both the animals and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. Now, when you move into the New Testament and our reading that Jill gave us from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul encourages the Christians in Corinth on the first day of the week to set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, so there won't be any need to take up a collection when Paul arrives. Now, we all know that the pattern of giving has changed over the years. Those who've come from overseas, maybe as migrant workers, or have come to live here from Europe, They'd been able to transfer money back to their relatives in one part of the world or another. In a very short space of time, the favorites and safest, of course, to use were Western Union and MoneyGram. I want you to imagine for a moment or two, if you will, that there are no mobile phones. It would, wouldn't it? No telexes. No emails. No wire transfers. What would you do? You could send your money by post. And if you don't want to send banknotes, you could send a check. What would you do if there was no paper money? What would you do if there was no banking system? You'd have to send someone to carry the money. And this is what Paul did. He sent a letter telling the church in Jerusalem who would be bringing the money. But of course, it's not the way we operate today, is it? There are so many ways in which we can give to the work of St. Peter's, and we can give to the work of missionary work as well. Yes, we do have a collection box at the back. Just like Jerusalem. We do have bank accounts, so you can set up a standing order. And lo and behold, we now have a QR code on the notice sheet that you can use. It couldn't be easier. There are many Christians who still follow the idea of giving a tenth of their income to the Lord's work, whether it be the local church, missionary work, or Christian charities. The challenge is, what are we giving? Remember the story of the widow. The rich people gave a contribution. Generous as that may have seemed, but the widow gave a true sacrifice. Is our giving a contribution and doesn't cost us anything? Or is our giving a sacrifice? I believe that this message, the widow's offering, has a further implication related to Christian living. There are many people today who still think that when they've been to church on Sunday, they've done their little bit and they don't need to worry about the rest of the week. This is similar to the rich people with large amounts, but when viewed in terms of what they gave, it was a contribution. Christian living should be a sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27, we read these words. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." The cross stands for sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus dying on the cross for each and every one of us. And Jesus was preparing in this passage that I've just read his disciples for his coming death on the cross. At this point in time, the disciples didn't fully understand the implications of Jesus' words. And it wasn't until after the death and the resurrection of Jesus that the penny dropped for the disciples, that they too would be taking up their cross to follow and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. It certainly involved a cost, with some losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are offering, in other words, our total selves to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. It certainly involves a cost, with some losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. And we know of many whose lives have been sacrificed as a result of trusting Jesus Christ and sacrificing themselves in the work of the gospel. Are we prepared to make a sacrifice for the Lord? It does cost to follow Jesus. So many of us should search our hearts, whether we are living sacrificially in terms of our finance, but also in terms of our service. Let us pray. Just be a moment or two of quiet and thoughtful. I will offer up my life in praise and thanksgiving and worship to you. And we thank you that you have called us to serve you. Help us to be obedient, and also with our giving of all that you have given to us, truly we can say, all things come from you, O Lord, and of our own do we give you. Amen.